In all of the books on public speaking, it says you're supposed to pause beforehand so you can breathe a few times before your nerves get you. I think it works sometimes. But I'm glad you guys don't mind me having jitters every single week. My professor lied to me in Bible school. And that is a bad place to lie to someone. He said, okay, after you preach a few times, maybe a little bit longer, it's going to get easy to you. You won't have the butterflies. It is not true. So I think that's what keeps God uses to keep me on my toes. Well, I'm glad you made it. 2 days away is July 4th, and Rick already talked about it, but I love history, and I thought that what you said was great. I also see the handiwork of God within how our country is founded. It's pretty amazing. But I do have a story from someone that was also fighting for freedom. But this was during World War II. And this was a man who was with the British Navy. And he happened to be attacked by the Japanese Air Force. And this is what he said. There are times in your life when things don't go right and you feel all alone. That happened to me on December 10th, 1941, when I was on the battle cruiser HMS Repulse with the nearby HMS Prince of Wales. We were attacked by the Japanese Air Force, which resulted in both ships being sunk. I found myself alone in the water, not able to see anyone else. It was then that the 23rd Psalm came into my head, and I realized I was not alone. I had a shepherd. The Lord was my shepherd. I didn't need to want. I was not in green pastures, but in oily waters. But he restored my soul. Even though I was walking in the shadow of death, I was to fear no evil, for he was with me. The rod and staff did not ring a bell with me until voices above me were shouting. Looking up, there was a big destroyer alongside me, HMS Electra, with nets over the side, which allowed me to climb up to safety. That was my rod and staff. I didn't have a table set before me, but I did get a cup of the ship's kai, which was cocoa. Since that day, goodness and mercy have followed me all the days of my life. And when I think back to that day, I wonder what would have happened if I had died. Then again, the psalm had the answer. I would dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalm that we all know, Psalm 23, is a great comfort to people. And I think as we've been going along, we've seen more of a depth to it, a nuance that can give us strength to be able to make it through till tomorrow. In your bulletins, I had a poem that I printed out for you. If you want to look at it, it talks about faith. And it's from Max Lucado, and this is what he said. Faith is trusting what the eye can't see. Eyes, they see the prowling lion. Faith sees Daniel's angel. Eyes see storms. Faith sees Noah's rainbow. Eyes, they see giants. Faith sees Canaan. Your eyes see your faults. Your faith sees your Savior. Your eyes see your guilt, and your faith sees his blood. Your eyes see your grave. Your faith sees a city whose builder and maker is God. Your eyes look in the mirror and see a sinner, a failure, and a promise breaker. But by faith, you look in the mirror and see a robed prodigal bearing the ring of grace on your finger and the kiss of your father on your face. I think the biggest thing about Psalm 23 can be boiled down to four words. God is with you. Let's pray. God, thank you for this opportunity that we have to learn something new about your word. Please calm our minds. Help us to not think about what we have to do in just a few minutes or a few hours or even a few days. Even if exams are coming, deadlines at work, kids are growing, these kind of things, please still our hearts so that we can see how you are leading us through those times and guiding us where you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you would, open your Bibles to Psalm. You guessed it, we're in chapter 23. I gave you lots of hints. See, adults, we need hints on where we're going. So we're looking at Psalm 23. And if you don't have your Bibles, it's okay. We have some in the pews in front of you. You open it up, basically dead in the middle is the book of Psalms. So you go to 23. And what we've been doing as a congregation, we've been actually saying the psalm together to be able to communally share in what David said. So if you would read with me out loud as we learn about Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the recitation of his word. Well, I always try to tell you what the context is of what we are talking about. And the context actually is those lines, those contour lines on that hill. Do you remember what we talked about last week? Well, it wasn't last week because Bill spoke last week. So, we talked about the right paths, and they're the right paths for the sheep to lead them to the right things. So if we put it into our language, God as our shepherd makes the right paths for us, the paths that are correct for each of us individually, but the paths that lead us to right things too. So that picture shows a bunch of trails. And how sheep are, because they like to play follow the leader, they would follow each other along those trail lines. And the cool thing is that the green pastures, the tufts of grass that their shepherd would bring them to, would be able to be reached above and below those trails. They're perfectly spaced so that if this sheep wanted to eat, it ate some of that. This sheep on the next trail would be able to eat some of that and some of that. It worked out really well, showing that the right paths were the right things for the sheep. Well, we're moving, transitioning from this pasture-like presence, still waters or peaceful waters, and green meadows, which in Israel they don't have a lot of green meadows, so it's green grass that's provided for them. We're moving from that into a treacherous time, a time of bewilderment. You see, sheep, they get scared easily. They would get scared even by a little squirrel running in front of them. So the shepherd is relied upon to do everything for them, to defend them, to feed them, to make sure they don't have bugs on their faces and noses, to do everything for them. And so the shepherd knows that as this spring comes and as it goes, the food will dry up around where he is. So with summer and autumn coming, he has to go out and find new pasture. He has to find new land for them because the sheep wouldn't know where to go to begin with. If a sheep doesn't eat and isn't protected by a shepherd, it could die within a day or just a few days. It sounds a lot like us. If we don't realize that God is there for us and we rely on him, we kind of shrivel up into less of a spiritual person than before. Well, I learned this in the King James Version, and it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's not like, yay! It's more the word that's even though, or it's a connecting word. It connects the right paths to say, oh, even though I walk through the right paths of the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. It changes from this, the Lord is my shepherd, my and him, to actually I and you. It becomes something personal, where the sheep, instead of talking about his shepherd, is talking to his shepherd. That's why I like this picture. It's a great shepherd holding his sheep. It shows, it looks like he has a big smile on his face, and that he cares for his sheep. Shepherds are cool. They name every single one of their sheep. And the sheep know them so well that they come when they're called. That's the kind of picture that David's doing. He's moving from this theoretical knowledge, yes, the Lord is my shepherd, I know he's going to take care of me, to I'm in the darkest places. I need you, God, to be my shepherd. Well, each week in the summer, I have been reading from this kid's book. And most of you adults, I'm an adult too, I guess, but most of us adults have been doing really well. Sometimes it's hard to listen to a kid's book, right? But I think there's a lot to learn. And so we are on chapter 6 this week. And the title is, Even Though I Walk Through the Valley of the Shadow of Death, I Will Fear No Evil, For You Are With Me. The first thing Precious thought every morning and the last thing she thought every night was, I belong to the Good Shepherd. I am precious to him. Now, if you remember, Precious was the lamb that was forgotten by his shepherd, her shepherd, and that shepherd wanted nothing to do with her. When she tried to escape, he tried to kill her. But the Good Shepherd bought her. He redeemed her and brought her into his flock. So she's talking about how now she belongs to a Good Shepherd. One day she listened eagerly as her shepherd explained, Tomorrow we begin our trip to the high places. Precious looked at Sammy. Where are the high places? Why are we going there? She asked. Sammy and Precious had become even closer friends since the shepherd had redeemed her. Sammy took special delight in helping Precious learn the ways of her new flock. The high places are wonderful, Sammy replied. It's almost summer, and it'll be hot and dry there, here, so there won't be much grass. But on the mountains, there will be beautiful green grass and fresh, cool streams. But I'm afraid to climb up the high mountains, Precious exclaimed. You don't have to be afraid. Our shepherd will be with you. But there's something very important that you must remember. What? Tell me quickly. Sammy smiled. Our shepherd is always before us, leading the way. When it is dark and you can't see him, just listen for his voice. Do you think I'll recognize his voice? Precious asked. Oh, yes. You'll know his voice because you belong to him. He will guide us through valleys and up to the places he has prepared for us. The next day, the flock started on the journey. They slowly climbed uphill, then they came to a valley. The verdant grass was yummy, but the mountains and cliffs on all sides made the valley seem dark and scary. Precious was still weak and soon grew tired. She could not keep up with the other sheep and became very afraid. Soon she began to cry, "What if they leave me and I get lost?" she thought. Then she saw her shepherd coming back to her. She heard his strong and gentle voice say, My little Precious, are you tired and afraid? Let me carry you for a while. He picked her up and cradled her gently in his strong arms. Precious relaxed. As the shepherd carried her along, she thought, Now I'm not afraid. I will fear no evil in this scary valley because my shepherd is with me. Well, next week we will look at chapter number 7 about the rod and the staff. Kind of weird, but they comfort us. Well, to tie in that story into what we have today, we have this valley of the shadow of death. Now, it could mean a bunch of things, but let me show you what it means to David. Normally, when they would go, they would walk along the hillsides, right? But they have to get to the pastures. Sometimes they're 100 miles away. And in order to get there, they have to be led to them. The shepherds in the Middle East always lead their sheep. They call out to the sheep, and the sheep follow them. We in the West, we kind of just push them like they're not smart. Which I know sheep aren't smart, but they're smarter than that. This summer, when they go, they actually will spend all of their time with the shepherd. It's close companionship. So as they're going through this valley, they're only with the shepherd. The sheep know the shepherd is leading them. One thing about the shepherd is that he already knows what's coming. Nothing ever takes him by surprise, and the reason is he never takes his flock where he hasn't already been. He walks ahead and he scouts out the area. He sees where the flash floods might be, where the bandits might hide, where the bad animals would be. And he knows exactly what to avoid so that his flock can be safe. You know, the extrapolation is really good, but I'm not going to tell you what it is until later. You can think about it. This is what David was picturing. This is called the Wadi Kelt. And there are many of these kind of valleys and gorges in Israel. This one happens to be the main road from Jerusalem to Jericho back in the time of Jesus. Can you see something desolate about it? Something kind of dark and dreary. It's near Bethlehem, and in this Wadi Kelt, there are paths that lead to water. But most of them are just a deep ravine. Wadi means a deep valley or ravine. So as the shepherd goes along, the sheep have to trust that he's going to take care of them, that he's going to lead them to water along the way, to being able to be restored, to continue their journey. But in Jesus' day, this was known as the Way of Blood. It was a time when the bandits would be there. And not like the good bandits, but the bad bandits. Actually, Jesus' story about the Good Samaritan, this is what he was talking about. So can you picture a person walking down there and someone hiding behind the next corner or in a cliff and beating the guy up? That's what Jesus is picturing about this very path. David used this path too to run away from his son Absalom. He went to the caves and hid there. So there's a lot of places here that are just desolate. But it leads to a oasis, a place where there's a lot of water and a lot of grass. So the shepherd knows he's got to go through it. When it says the shadow of death, that means that you might find yourself in a situation where death is a distinct possibility. The air in the bottom of these wadis is heavy with the rising heat of the day, and the canyon depths are swathed in the dark shadows as the rising cliff walls exclude the sun. At this moment, crossing this valley, they forget the green pastures and the still waters. That's farthest from their mind, but they know that the shepherd that gave them that stuff is the same shepherd that's leading them too. So if you look at that picture, it looks like a bunch of valleys, right? One thing about the valleys is that there's an opening and there's an exit. David didn't say, I walk in the valley. He didn't say, I stay in the valley. He didn't say, I die in the valley. But he says, I walk through the valley. That's something that we forget. Sometimes we have this victim mentality. Or for kid language, sometimes we think the world's always out to get us. We think that, oh, our parents are out to get us. Our friends are out to get us. Our boss is out to get us. We worry about these things. But we just decide to stay there because sometimes it gives us power. It allows us to be angry about it. Oh, I've never had a chance. So then you're angry about it, but it's like you're living in this valley of yuckiness, this valley of the shadow where you need to move on to something better. Now, for those of you that have been Christians for a long time, I think you can recognize this. This is a mountaintop, and this is a mountaintop experience. What we mean by that is that it's such a great time of fellowship with God that we have, that we start to feel that we see God right beside us and that it changes our life forever. Now, we as believers sometimes think that God is just going to come down in a helicopter. He's going to get us to get into it and he's going to fly us up to that mountaintop so that we can have that experience. But it doesn't work that way. God asks us to go through these hard times, through these valleys, on purpose. Because we have to learn something. Now, raise your hand if when you are scared or sad or hurt or mad or upset, you're more comforted by someone that is happy and optimistic and cheerful, or someone that has actually gone through the very same thing as you have and said that, don't worry, you can make it. Okay, so first one is the happy and optimistic. Raise your hand if you would rather be comforted by that. What about the second one where the person has gone through it before, you realize that, oh, if they made it, I can make it. How many of you would like that? Okay, even my kids who didn't raise their hands probably would. That's the thing. Sometimes we have to go through the valleys in order to help someone else. The truth is we've been living in the valley of the shadow of death. My family has been living in the shadow of death for a while. Last summer, John Miller almost died a few times. That was the shadow of death. This year, all we're told from hospice is, yes, your mother-in-law could die at any moment. That's the shadow of death. But it doesn't always have to be death as the shadow. Like Tim said, it can be these monumental things that you have to go through. These scary things, the debt, the worries, the I don't know what's going to happen. All of those cast tremendous shadows upon us. But God says, trust me as you walk through it, because I have a better plan to redeem that. I'm going to bring you to something even better than you had before. So that's one of the reasons God has us to go through the valleys, rather than being airlifted up. We just can't get it otherwise. Well, this is now a question I think we all think. How can God be with us in the valley of the shadow of death? Well, here's an interesting scientific fact. Human beings are the only part of God's creation that know that they are doomed to die. No other part of creation knows that they're going to die. But God has allowed us to realize there is an end. That shows how different we are as humans from animal kingdom. The name of God, one of the great names of God, there's many of them, but it's Jehovah Shammah. It means Jehovah, God is there. So if God is there, what does that mean to us? Well, I have to explain also another scientific thing. It's shadows. Okay, well, we all know that we can make shadows, right? But there's another aspect of shadows that I think we forget. I was wondering if Twyla and Rayla and Kiana and Ethan and Abigail would mind helping me out. These guys are my helpers, and they do a good job. So I'm going to have them all stand right here, anywhere. And I'm going to point a light at you guys. But the light is not scary. It's not like a lightsaber or anything. So you'll be okay. So I'm going to put the light over there. All you guys have to do is look towards me. Pretend I'm a shepherd. No, I'm kidding. And I'm going to put it at you guys. It's going to make a shadow back there. So I'm going to ask you a few questions. Let me get my light. It's a bright light, too. So if it hurts your eyes, you can close them if you want. Okay. You guys all right? Okay, good. We're almost done. You're good. So I'll move to the side so you don't have to watch it. Now, look behind you. Okay, adults, what are those things called? Oh, very good. Okay, thanks, guys. Now, I'm going to do something. Can you feel that? No? Oh. What about this? No? Okay. I'm going to do something. It might hurt you. Ready? Did you feel that? Ah! Okay. Thank you, guys. You did a good job. You can go sit down. Let's clap for them. You were good helpers. I was even stomping on their little heads. That was bad, right? And no, I don't want to do that. I'm not working out anything. But the shadow didn't do anything to you guys, did it? And I'm glad it didn't do anything to you guys either. But it kind of shows a principle that I think we as adults forget. Shadows don't hurt. I know Tim took away my thunder. That's what I was going to say, so thank you, Tim. But what about a shadow that goes hundreds of miles an hour? It's really neat and crazy that a shadow going hundreds of miles an hour can hit a child head on and not hurt them. The train that is a bullet train that can go at speeds over 200 miles per hour. It's more than dollars, I know. But the shadow can go so fast as it comes by, it can hit the kid head on, but the kid's going to be fine. Why is that? Because it's the shadow. But what about if that train actually hit us? That would be a different story, wouldn't it? It really would. Now here's the truth. The locomotive force of the wrath of the holy God hit Jesus Christ as he hung on Calvary's cross on Good Friday. He collided with our sins. The guilt of the ages bore down upon him. The sky turned dark. The earth quaked. The angels recoiled in horror. The good shepherd laid down his life for his sheep and bore our death full force. As a result, you know what we're hit with? The shadow of death. As believers, we're not hit with actual death and separation from our holy God. He has made a way through taking the complete force of that impact so that when the shadow of death hits us, we don't have to be afraid because he is with us, because the shadow hits us and it does no harm, because he says, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Now, one other thing. Jesus traveled that very path that I showed you before. The Wadi Kelt, the path from Jericho to Jerusalem. Did you know it's called the Way of Blood? And he traveled it right before he was going to Calvary to die for us. That was the very last path that Jesus walked to get to Jerusalem so that he could sacrifice himself for his sheep. If Jesus goes before you and he says, this is the right paths for you, I know it's the scary paths, but I'll be with you and it'll go to the right places. I'm your shepherd. You need to trust me. He's already gone on that very same path. But instead of us having to fear the valley of death, we only have the shadow of death. We have to fear nothing because God is with us. John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. To wrap it up with another story, is another Psalm 23 story, and this one was from the 1800s. A lady, we'll call her Mrs. Barry, she was the wife of Reverend Joseph Barry in London. She was getting older and starting to get weak and frail. She told her husband that if there must be a funeral sermon, let the text be Psalm 23, verse 4. As her health was failing, she spoke infrequently but rested in God's presence. Then in her final moments, her friends made out a few snatches of words from her dying lips. Valley, shadow, home, Jesus, peace. And then she died, went to be with her good shepherd. The reason we can make it through all of these things is the same summary of all of Psalm 23. Four words, God is with you. Now, if you don't know God, the hard thing is that the locomotive force, the train force of God's righteous wrath against sin, it has to hit someone. If Jesus wasn't the one who took your sins away, who you say, I know that it was only because of Jesus that I can be saved. That train, the full force of God's wrath has to hit you. But it doesn't have to be that way. And the reason I say that is because you're breathing now. You have a chance to realize that you're like a sheep. We're all like sheep. We've all chosen the paths that were the wrong paths, that lead to wrong things. But Jesus said, I have come so that you may have life and have it abundantly. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, no woman, no boy or girl comes to the Father except through me. So it's trusting that the God that made the world, the God that made humans realize that death is coming, is the same God that says, I don't want to be separated from you. And I have sent someone to die in your place. A perfect one, my son, to die in your place. If you believe that, then it's just shadows. Soon we're going to see the real thing when Jesus comes again. Let's pray. God, thank you for not only being the light of the world, but also being the one that helps us through the shadows, helps us through the valleys of difficulty, and brings us through gracefully on the other side. Please help us to be able to see and understand that as we go through this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you wouldn't mind standing, I would like to give you a benediction before you leave. A send-off, if you will. We sung a song, As Long As I Have You. And it says, let the walls around me crumble. Let the wind and rain come through. Let the earth beneath me tremble. Let my enemies pursue. I can face it as long as I have you. The benediction is found in John chapter 14 and a few verses. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And the final one is found at the end. Before he went up to heaven, he says, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So you can probably guess what my key point was, but it's really true, and it can change you forever. God is with you. I'm glad you came. It was good to see you, and you're dismissed. I'll see you next week.